Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 19th, 2018. With me today, I have Kelly Gumont. And how are you, Kelly?
Oh, sorry. I was watching the Captain Marvel trailer again. I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I have watched that so many times. I'll have a link to the Captain Marvel trailer in the show notes for everyone. I am so looking forward to March 2019, and I'm doing well. Thank you, Kelly.
Oh, yes.
John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm happy to be here, too. Good morning, Kelly.
Greetings, program.
That was the best. Oh, my God. Seriously. You just made my day right there, Kelly.
Oh.
Hey, we have a sponsor today, and our sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs, and that's pretty awesome. And we should just jump right into it because I know us, and and it's just talky. Anyhow, John, you have some thoughts on Apple Watch popularity and what this says about our culture, and I would love for you to explain that to me, please.
Yeah, it started off with the first part, really, which was a few days ago. Apple Watch is the intelligent guardian of the galaxy. Cough, cough. Mm-hmm. that was referring to Jeff Williams' comment during the iPhone and Apple Watch event, where he talked about how the Apple Watch is now the intelligent guardian of your health. And I thought that was pretty significant. I liked the phrasing. I liked the choice of the word guardian, and I explored that in a previous article. But then yesterday morning, I started thinking more about the appreciation that we have for a device like this that protects us, partners with us. And in a culture right now where there seems to be an unending series of assaults on us, either through internet hacking or social media, anti-social media, or climate change or AI prospects, it's nice to know that there's a device that's significantly emerging as our best friend protector, that's in contact with our skin, always there, has current and forward-looking prospects for protecting us, watching over us, being our health guardian, encouraging us to be healthy and be active. And so there's not too many personal electronics devices that make such a big deal out of collecting our health data and keeping it private and keeping it in our hands only, and doing such a good job of informing us about our state and our health and protection, warning, early warning signs, perhaps, from the ECG. Mm-hmm. So I explored first some of these cultural pressures that are on us, and then explored the Apple Watch protection game.
So tell me about those social pressures.
Well, I listed five. There are probably more. I didn't want to go on at length. But there's, first of all, there's the hacking of internet data, things like Equifax and credit cards online that companies try to store. We got to do something about that, by the way. Apple Pay solves the problem, but so many companies still retain a credit card number on file, and then they're on the internet, and whoops, it's leaked, which is a giant annoyance.
And then what's interesting to me, I just want to jump in real quick on that one. The thing that's interesting to me about that is that there are still a lot of people who don't know that Apple Pay is not the same as, like, I took a picture of my credit card and I hold up that picture to pay for something with all the same information about it.
Yeah,
and so
that's
like, there's still a whole lot of, I don't want to say misinformation, but lack of understanding on that particular front of how that mechanism works. Cause I know lots of occasions I walk in and I pay and I go, and I tell places like, thank you for having Apple Pay. I am more likely to spend more money here as a result, because I like to wave my watch at the thing. And that's how I paid. And people always go, probably about half the time I still get people that go, gosh, I would never carry my credit card number around on my phone like that. I'm like, okay, well, technically, first of all, you already are. But second of all, that's so not how it works. So you know, and I even wrote up the thing about breach fatigue, which I think is part of why it is a sore spot with me, is like I went and got all of this information so that I could translate it for people. And it's interesting to see that there's still, given how long Apple Pay has been around, it's interesting to me how much people still don't know about it or have a clear understanding of.
Kelly, when did Apple Pay launch? Wasn't it with iPhone 6 in 2015?
Yeah, because you need a Touch ID.
You need a Touch ID and the bigger phone, because the 5S didn't have it at first. There was a thing. Yeah.
So, Kelly, the mystification that I see, do you like that mystification?
I do. That was very nice.
Thank you. That I see with people in stores, I'm inclined to think now that's a U.S. thing. Because
I'm sure.
Yeah, because when I was in London just recently, like, what was that, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
It was weird when you had to pull your credit card out. Everything was contactless. And all of the employees in every store totally understood exactly what it was and how it worked. And every place had the card reader, or excuse me, the contactless reader front and center.
But also the rest,
watch on it.
Well, the rest of the world went chip and pin ages ago. And that still hasn't 100% happened here, because we still have a lot of chip and sign. So, you know, even if you put your card, even if you have a chipped card and you put the card, the chip end into the machine, you know, more often than not, you still have to sign for it. And that is not a thing in the rest of the world. And so I think there's a certain amount of us sort of being a step behind on that as well, because it's a trivial process to go from a chip inside, from a chip and pin system to a contactless system, because you're already doing the bulk of it, which eliminates the need for the signature. So, yeah,
it was just phones and watches everywhere. That's how people paid. It was great.
Hello and welcome to the Buying Stuff podcast from Mac Observer.
Yes.
Was it equal representation of Android phones and Samsung Pay and so on?
It was mostly iPhones and some Apple Watches, and occasionally you would see a Samsung phone, but it was like everyone had iPhones.
Congratulations, Apple.
Yeah. So we need to talk about our sponsor, I think. And the pause right there, I was thinking, do we talk about our sponsor or do we keep talking more about Apple Watch and culture? But you know what? We're going to talk about the sponsor, because I'm kind of excited to do that. So that's LinkedIn Jobs. And here's the deal. Let's say you have a business and you need to hire a new employee for your business. And so you have to put out the job listing, and you throw it up on all these boards and job listing services, and you get all of these replies, and it's a bunch of people that just aren't what you're looking for. Well, what you should have done is put that listing on LinkedIn Jobs, because LinkedIn Jobs, that's where all the people that are already using LinkedIn are going to hunt for the new career that they want. The people that you get applying for jobs through LinkedIn Jobs tend to be more qualified and more interested in what your company is doing. So it's not like you're getting someone that's just hoping for a job anywhere. You're getting someone that's interested in having the job at your place. So you end up being more satisfied. They end up being more satisfied. You save time and money. And that's a beautiful thing. So you can save a little bit more money because you listen to Daily Observations. Thank you very much. So you can get $50 off your first job post. Here's what to do. Hurry to linkedin.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/TDO. Terms and conditions apply. And thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor today. All right. As much as I want to keep talking about Apple Watch and culture and I also want to talk about Siri shortcuts and shortcuts in iOS 12. So I think we just need to jump into that, and we can talk more about Apple Watch on another day. And here's the deal. iOS 12.
Before we get down that far, I'm just going to point out that I'm getting a new watch on Friday, and I've literally never upgraded. I got an OG Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting a new one on Friday. So whether I'm on a podcast or not, I will probably be talking about my Apple Watch on Friday, whether anyone's recording or not, just so everyone knows. So if you're getting one on Friday, or if you want to know what it's like to get the Series 4, go ahead and hit me up through all of the regular contact our podcast channels. So.
Cool. And actually, I'm thinking about maybe doing a special show on Monday where we talk about Apple Watch Series 4, since everyone will have it. That can be on the show.
Okay.
So, except me. Mine's coming later.
Yeah, well, that's because you didn't get up and order yours.
I know. I'm done getting up at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, well, and that's why you don't get to be on Monday's show.
Yeah. Bummer.
Anyhow.
Bummer.
Anyhow, Siri shortcuts. So iOS 12, which is out now, takes the workflow app that Apple bought a while ago and turns it into something that just really ties into the system just really well. And it lets you automate tasks on your phone or your iPad, which is really cool and just, I think, a fundamental change in the way people are going to be able to use their iOS devices. So I'm curious what you guys think about all this.
I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory.
Ooh.
You know how we have lamented in the past that Siri shows a singular inability to decipher just exactly what it is we want to do? I think somebody at Apple said, you know, that's a game that's years away. But we've already got tracking mechanisms within watchOS that allow us to link things together, you know, the remnants of Apple events. And we can track within the operating system events that are happening and string them together and tie it together into a user command and make it look like the watch is being more responsive in a ways that AI is not yet ready to decipher.
Do you mean the watch or the phone?
The watch. The phone. I'm sorry.
That's
the watch on my mind this morning. So I think that it was sort of like, let's sit down and figure out how we can achieve the thing that people have been criticizing us for in practical means without having to make the Siri do it just through sheer raw horsepower of intuiting what it is we want to try to achieve. That's my theory.
And
what do you think?
So we have shortcuts.
Yeah.
You know, that could be part of it. I think part of it's also that Apple saw this powerful tool for stringing together actions from different apps in a really slick way. And they realized that you could hook this in at a deeper system level and maintain security if this was an Apple-owned product. So they bought it. And now they're giving us this powerful tool that enhances, potentially, our iPhone and iPad experience, but then also enhances Siri, because now we can make Siri do a lot of the things that we wish it could, but previously wasn't able to do.
Yeah, but if it were a Mac, we'd have done it with a click, but on the iPhone, we can string it to a voice command. It's really not that more advanced than a click.
Yeah, and of course, you can do some pretty complex things in the Shortcuts app, and then if you want, you can link that to a Siri command. And you can also do the shortcut suggestions, which you can find in System Preferences. It's under Siri and, what do they call it?
Siri and Search, is it?
I'm looking. Yes, you have it right. Siri and Search. Yep. Thank you,
Kelly. Here's the interesting thing to me about the Siri shortcuts. I know John was pointing out that it's pretty clear sometimes that Siri doesn't know what you want to do. but it's also clear sometimes that Siri doesn't quite know what you said. And one of the things that's interesting to me about being able to build a Siri shortcut is that all she's really going to be looking for is that you make the same noise every time. Like, this is sort of my understanding of how you assign the words to the shortcut. So it doesn't matter what you say. So if you want to give her directions in Pig Latin, as long as you say the Pig Latin the same every time, then you can get her to turn on the lights using Pig Latin. And that's awesome. For me, that's a part that's going to be very interesting because, like we've talked about before, there are still voice recognition assistants out there that can't recognize my voice.
Kelly, if for you're whatever reason, on all your lights by saying, "Hey, S lady, earn tay the ites lay," then you have failed.
You know, here's what I'm going to tell you is that given the kind of disaster area that home automation and Internet of Things has been so far, I feel like this might be the thing that tips me into HomeKit because I have a lot of stuff that's compatible, but I won't do any of it. Because what little tiny bit I tried made me angry. I don't know that the thing that I don't like about it is the thing that's been resolved. But aside from that, this might make it possible for me to be able to just turn stuff on and turn stuff off the same way I do with the A-Lady. And
it's very possible because you can string a lot of things together.
Right.
Shortcut.
So I can actually get a good morning or a good night and have it set the thermostat and adjust some lights and, you know, in the morning, turn on the hot water boiler and whatever else. And so this might be the thing that actually makes it so that I can use my phone to do some of this stuff and not have to jimmy a bunch of stuff together with bubblegum and baling wire, as we say in my native land, in order to make things work with the A-Lady. And so this might be a thing that actually makes it easier for me to do, particularly because I will be able to tell these shortcuts, whatever they are, in Pig Latin or any other language, to my new Apple Watch.
Yes, and they work from your HomePod too. The tests that I've done, because I don't believe it till I see it in action. But it's been
good.
Great
call.
Yeah, you know, I'll set some
CarPlay. CarPlay would be handy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, John, you as someone that tends to be able to give us the deeper Apple insight on something, do you think that shortcuts is going to be something that really takes off, or is this going to be something that becomes like a niche thing that only people that are willing to embrace the more technical aspects of the operating system we'll get into?
I think it kind of depends on how well it's communicated, both through articles that we write and Apple Tech Notes and articles other people write. If it can be presented and explained in a way that makes people instantly comfortable with it, doesn't get too geeky and provides a really sound, if I may use the word, pedagogical approach, and that you kind of warm people up to it and don't get overly technical and explain some simple examples and let people kind of explore on their own in a simple way. And then they say, oh, well, I want to learn more, as opposed to, you know, massive tutorials that turn people into mush. So,
well,
I think it's all going to be how the community explains it to the customers.
I have two thoughts about that. The first is, I think that's part of where the surfacing that feature is going to pop up. You know, like we saw in the keynote, where if you go to a certain coffee place and order the same thing every morning at the same time, it's going to pop up for you and then ask if you want to assign a shortcut to it so that you can just do that. I think that's part of what's going to help people get their foot in the door. And one thing that I personally know about that I think will help get a lot of people's foot in the door is that David Sparks has built a Mac Sparky field guide, and it's like a cool interactive thing because it's a lot of video, so it shows things in action, and it's the Siri shortcuts field guide.
That's gonna help a lot.
Yeah, And now it is not free. Like having the suggestions pop up on your phone, that doesn't cost anything. It's $24, but you get a load of information, and you get it from David Sparks, who's super great at this. That $24 gets you lifetime access. There's a 30-day refund if you decide you don't like it. And I know I sound like I'm sort of shilling for him, but I have genuinely enjoyed every single one of his other field guides. I've purchased them and been very happy with them. And I always learn something out of that that either never occurred to me to do that way or that I didn't even realize was possible. And so I have no problem recommending this to other people. I feel like people should check out learn.maxsparky.com and get the Siri Shortcuts field guide. It's super fantastic. I'm only partway into it right now. But I have been enjoying seeing how he puts things together and how to get this. Like I'm only up to a little bit past the system shortcuts and seeing what kind of shortcuts are available. And that's the part that's always interesting is, you know, I know what I do with my phone all the time. Jeff does different stuff. John, you do different stuff. And so getting to see what's available to you, you know, oh, that means I can do this thing that I do all the time, but so much faster and more easily. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what's going to be the good stuff about this. So,
yeah.
Is David's video interactive? Does it interact with the machine itself, or is it just simply a video?
Well, these are just video. Like you watch the video, but, you know, you can pause and walk through stuff on your phone yourself and different things. So, so far, I've just, like I said, I haven't gotten all the way through the class yet. I have a few. And so far, I've just been watching video, but it's been super great. And, you know, I can pause and back up and tell me that one more time and let me try that on mine and see how it works and things like that. So far, it's been really useful.
That's very cool. Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes, too, so people can check that out. I'm thinking, geez, we're out of time, but I'm thinking that the suggested shortcuts is mm-hmm. going to help a lot with people that wouldn't otherwise get into this,
mm-hmm.
dive in, or at least put their toes in. And what I'm expecting is that some of these people will start to see the bigger potential, and then they'll head over to the Shortcuts app and look in the library.
Mm-hmm. Particularly if you have habits on your phone, like you order the same thing at Starbucks about the same time every day. One day when you pick up your phone, it's going to go, hey, you do this all the time about now. Do you want to just assign it some words and say that instead? Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's probably going to, anybody that does anything on their phone that's about the same thing at about the same time every day on their phone is going to end up with at least one shortcut. And whether or not they expand on that and do other things, I think is going to be, there will be varying degrees of success with that. But I think that a lot of people are going to have at least one or maybe two.
It occurs to me that one social aspect, real quickly, I know we're out of time, is being circumspect about how you choose your words and what you say mm-hmm. to Siri Shortcuts in public, as opposed to when you were privately tapping and no one could see your display.
I think most people aren't even going to care, but they should.
Yeah. Something to think about.
Yeah.
What's going to be the new thing I ask people when I see them? It's not going to be what's on your home screen anymore, but what's your Siri Shortcuts?
Yeah. I want to know what other people are doing with shortcuts. That's the best way to learn. See what other people have done, and it gives you inspiration for things that you can do. All right, we really are out of time. So we're wrapping up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. See you later, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, to get $50 off your first job post, linkedin.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad you're here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.